Hi, it's Richard Michael at MMA Legal.
Hi there, my name's James. I see yourself called me.
Hey James, can I take your surname please?
Haney.
Hi Mr. Haney, give me 2 6. Okay. I've literally just called you, haven't I?
Yeah.
There you go. So, are you okay to have a 5 or 10 minute chat with me, James, about your case?
Yes, yeah.
Fantastic. So just to let you know, James, all of our calls are recorded for training and monitoring purposes. Mm-hmm. My role here in MMA, you've been speaking to our customer care team. It's my role as an investigator to go out and gather the evidence, if you like, that substantiates your claim.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that's writing to social services or educational authorities, that's my role and my team's role. The call today isn't to go through what happened to you in care. You've already done that. I'm not going to drag you over those emotional coals again today. I don't need to. I will do that once I get all of your information back in 6 to 8 months' time.
Yeah.
The call today, James, is more to understand how your time in care and the trauma you faced has had an impact on you in your adult life. Excuse me, James. Now, a lot of our clients who have suffered such trauma as a child have developed the likes of depression, anxiety, PTSD, any sort of alcohol or drug issues. And what I'll do, James, is I'll then write to GPs, NHS trusts, drug rehabilitation centres, mm-hmm. wherever that may be, and I'll gather that information so we can paint an accurate picture for the Scottish Redress Team, for when they judge our case, is what happened to you in care has potentially haunted you and followed you into your adult life and has had a lasting effect. Is that okay, James?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you some tough questions, James, and I'm so sorry for having to do so. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be doing my job for you if I didn't ask you these questions. So I apologise in advance. Have you or have you ever suffered with any sort of anxiety or depression, James?
That's more that side rather than anything else.
Okay.
Divorce, etc. All that type of stuff.
Mental health issues. And have you sought medical attention for these, James?
No, well, this is later on. I mean, when I left that place, I managed to find work, etc., and it was fine. So, but it just got on my life, and I've always been. What was your word, don't you?
I've always
felt intimidated. I always felt as if I was second class, second best sort of thing.
No, I get that. Okay. So when did your mental health started to deteriorate, James?
Well, that was later on. After family, obviously, family and my son.
Yeah.
My son had mental health problems, so I got a bond with him, so I had to deal with all that. So it kind of dragged me down.
Yeah, of course. And did you? How's your son, by the way?
He's in Malta at the moment, but he's still phones every day. He's got problems, major problems at the moment.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that. It's so hard when for our kids, isn't it?
I sent him on holiday to get back a piece, bad peace and quiet from him.
Yeah.
Cell phone every day, the lagging stuff. It's an everyday event. It's not his fault. He's a bipolar and bad. It's not his problem. It's not his fault.
No.
But we've got to suffer it all the time.
Oh, that's so sad. My son is 6. He's just been diagnosed with autism.
I see. It's bad enough.
Yeah, he's only 6. We thought it was his brother and sister had speech problems. as younger child, and we just thought it was that. But we got pulled into a school not too long ago, about 2 years ago actually.
Mm-hmm.
And then thought it was something a little off. It's tough when it's our kids, so I do understand that. So obviously when your son's mental health started to, flare up, if you like.
He's 35 now, we have a 16, when he was 15, he was through school with ADHD, etc., that type of thing, and then all of a sudden it becomes bipolar for some reason, medical reason.
Yeah.
After 16 it becomes bipolar, so this baby has problems with him.
Yeah. Well, what happened to you then, James, if you don't mind me asking then? How did that affect, how did the wall come down and your mental health started suffering?
It's just pressure, just to try and deal with things. I left at St. Joseph's at 77,
yeah.
I managed to work. I've been working, I've worked most of my life,
Yeah.
I worked in the Hotel, Price Railway. I nearly became a train driver, and then I had to stop because of divorce, because of my problem with, I don't know, bullying and whatever. I just couldn't cope with discipline,
Yeah, of course.
I had to deal with that, and then I went off for just a wee bit, and then I went back when I got myself another job, but I ended up being a manager for a brewery. I was 17 years, a Scottish Brewers manager.
Yeah, it's a shame.
I've now been self-employed for lots of years, running pubs and etc.
You've just seen your license to sell alcohol, yeah.
I have a wee glass of red wine or something. No, I don't drink alcohol. I managed to cope with that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I leave behind that.
Yeah, of course.
Because I deal with customers. I deal with mental health people every day.
Yeah, well, I owned a pub for four years. I bought a lease on a Scottish and Newcastle pub.
Well, that's where I
work
for, yeah.
So my friend, Peter, is an area manager. And
mm-hmm.
I was working on the building sites and hated being out in the wind and the snow and the rain. And he said, do you want to have a go at buying a pub?
Scottish players are really good people to work for.
It's Hannity, are they? Scottish and Newcastle? Oh, no, so that's, yeah, I know. So if it wasn't Scottish and Newcastle, I nearly bought a lease with Scottish and Newcastle.
Right.
I paid £64,000 for a pub, a lease on a pub, and
yeah.
They had a manager in there, so we sent, because we had to chupi the staff over. Yeah, so we had people going into the pub, spying, if you like, and the manager was, you could see she was just giving drinks away, she was slotting the money, and we raised a concern to Scottish and Newcastle. And they said, there's nothing you can do. You're going to have to manage her out once she's trooped over. But we didn't have the experience to do that.
Yeah, there's ways of going about it. You just change her shifts and make her very hard for her.
Yeah.
We've trained to do all that. We were taught to train. I had someone and he went, I do this shift, but I do 16 hours a week. Says, did you? So what you do now is you do this, but I'm fucking in your 16 hours. I can't, doesn't quote me, well, I'm off in your work, pal. So yeah, it's pure choice. And then move on. You make it harder.
Yeah, you might have heard of her, James, to be honest with you, because she it was quite big news down here in Liverpool. About a year or so after we dropped that pub and bought a pub from Heineken, or a lease from Heineken.
Right.
She died. She was sitting on a wall and she fell backwards. She was only in her 40s, and she died.
Oh.
She was one of the top managers in the Scottish and Newcastle.
That area,
Yeah. It's meant. It's not that. Anyway, but yeah, there was. I get what you're saying about, you know, I mean, I was young when I took my...
You were naive, you're naive.
I was 26, everyone's your friend, and oh, I'm having a...
Oh, right, of course
have a drink with me, and next thing you know, I'm on the air 4 or 5 nights a week.
Nah.
And, you know, got a bit too much, so...
No, you've got to have a distance.
Yeah. If I was a bit older, I get what you're saying, though, about... I've seen some of the nicest people in the world pre-pint number one turn into some of the most annoying and horrible people post-pint number four. And it's like, how did they go from that to that in 3 pints or 4 pints?
Oh, it's different people, different... So I've seen my father. My father growing up was a different generation.
Yeah.
He was a man. It had to be husband in a way.
Did you get much trouble up there in the pubs in Scotland?
When you did it, you could send to all different pubs.
Yeah.
To run them, that thing, and you worked in some toilets. Trust me.
Yeah, you do.
You had to be tough.
Yeah, no, I get that. Sorry about that, pal. I'm sorry for digressing with you. I just need to get back to your mental health for a sec, James, if you don't mind. Did you ever go to see your GP and did they give you any sort of assistance?
Yeah, they gave me a tablet. Don't ask me when they gave me a tablet. But I was at a depression thing. This was later on in life, obviously. Because I was trying to go to my son, et cetera. Blow a lot of things up.
So what I'll do is I'm going to write to your GP. I'm also going to write to the Education Authority and the Social Services of both South Lanarkshire and East Lothian. When I get that information from your time in care, James, do you want me to share that with you?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, perfect. It's copies.
I know the facilities are all gone now, I know that.
Yes, okay. We'll get them from the local authorities. Can I take your GP details, please, James?
It's Bruce Medical Centre.
Bruce?
Yeah.
It's a good Scottish name, isn't it? whereabouts is that, sir?
Pollock Street, Belsville.
Okay, I'll get from Belsville, that's fine. Okay, so so what I'll do is I'll write to the GP. I'm not going to tell him why I'm writing. I don't need to. We're your law firm. I'll gather all of your information. I'll add that to the information that I send you from, you know, your time and care.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go through that together, James. I may come up and see you, depending on obviously how busy you are on my calendar. But we'll definitely go through it together, whether that's face to face or over the phone.
Yeah.
We'll make sure that you're happy with everything we've got. We haven't missed anything out. And then we do what's called our final submission to the Scottish Redress.
Yeah, because when I spoke for the first time, there's a few things obviously keep popping in your head, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's okay. You've got my number now, James. If anything pops in your head or, you know, any sort of other care settings, what happened to you in care, we're going to tackle that when we get the information back. So maybe worth you, you know, maybe keeping some form of diary if you so wish to. It's not critical to do that. But when I send you the information, it may then obviously kick up more memories, and then we can make sure that, you know, you're happy with all of your statements and you're happy that we've got everything.
Yeah.
We'll send that to the Scottish Redress team with your medical records, and then we'll wait for what's called a panel date, James. That's when a panel of individuals will judge our case,
I've been at panels when I was young.
It's all behind closed doors, this one. We'll be notified by writing on obviously what the outcome of that is.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be able to then get you the recognition that you deserve of any wrongdoing, and also some financial compensation, James.
I still see one or two people of his birth, and he is a major alcoholic because of that.
For want of a better word, the fact that you jumped out of care and went straight into work has probably massively helped you.
Of course it has.
Yeah, because some of our clients,
I can imagine, especially with the scene. I was tipped, compared to other people.
Yeah, no. So it's disgusting what happened. It really is. No,
especially that. I think that association, the LaSalle brothers, things.
Yeah.
Ed's and Indians, St. Joseph's, I can't remember, that was evil, that was the best. Not for me, I was a type of expert compared to some people who did what went with him.
Yeah, it's mental. I don't get how it happened. I don't get any of it, to be honest with you. I'm still scratching my head now. And the hope is, obviously, if we get you some money back, it's not going to fix what happened. But hopefully the fact that we keep hitting the Scottish Government in the pocket will be able to sit up and take notice and try and avoid anything like this happening in the future. Because that's the only thing they know, isn't it? Let's be honest. Is being hurt in the
family. You don't get away with it nowadays, obviously. It's a different generation now. And it sounds bad, but some young ones nowadays need the discipline.
There's a massive difference between discipline and abuse, though, James.
I understand. Yeah,
you're right. People, I think the school system and this generation, and probably maybe two generations below me, lack discipline. But abuse is.
It was abuse.
One thing.
I'd say discipline, but it was abuse, to be quite honest. Yeah.
Definitely. So do you have any questions for me, James? Do you understand what my role
is? No, I understand the process. Yeah, I understand what you're doing,
Perfect. I just need to go back a step with you, James. Obviously, due to the sensitive nature of these cases, make sure that you fully understand our fees. I just need to run through it with you on this recorded call. And if you're happy, then obviously I'll continue with the case. Just to let you know, James, you can actually apply to the Scottish Redress yourself. You don't need a law firm to do that. It's set up so that individuals can apply themselves and obviously, if they so wish, gather their own evidence and create their own case.
Mm-hmm.
So that is option one. Option two is there are other law firms that will help you apply, James, and won't charge you any fees. They do this because they participate in what's called the Government Legal Fee Scheme, where they get paid £2,000 per client, whether that client wins, loses or draws.
Mm-hmm.
I legally can't discuss the law firm's practices and what they do, and probably more importantly, James, what they don't do for you.
Yeah.
All I can tell you is we don't participate in that scheme. We have actively rejected it on multiple occasions. We don't want a handout from the Scottish Government. What we do is we enter into a joint venture with you under a no-win, no-fee private fee agreement. What that means is if you win, we win. If you lose, we lose. And it's on us as a business to go out and gather as much information so we can support your claim.
Of course.
Our fees are capped at 20% inclusive of all VAT. So what that means, James, is no matter how much time we work or spend on your case, you'll never pay us more than 20%. It's actually less. It's 19.2%. For ease of it's 20%. On the flip side of that, James, as well, due to the mental and emotional hardship you've been through throughout your life because of your time and care, we will never put you under any sort of financial hardship. So what that means is if we're unsuccessful, James, We'll never come looking for our fees from you.
Yeah.
Our insurance policy will pay and cover all of our fees. So it is right. A genuine no win, no fee.
That's fine.
Is that okay, James?
Yeah, I'm beginning happy with that.
Fantastic. Do you understand those three options? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, are you still happy for me to continue with your case?
Of course, yeah.
Excellent. Just to let you know, James, you have what's called a 14-day cooling-off period from the date you signed any documentation with us. If you were unaware, I can restart that 14 days from today. Or alternatively,
no, I'm fine. I'm happy. But
yeah, if you're happy, you can waive the 14-day cooling-off period.
Yeah, of course.
Are you happy to waive the 14-day?
Yes, definitely.
Perfect. What I'll do, James, is obviously you've got my number now. Save that number. My name's Michael. I'm going to be walking you through now to the very end. If you need me for anything, just give me a call. I work for you. So, you know, there's no query or no phone call that will be wasting my time, even if it's just a chat. Just give me a ring. If you're struggling mentally, I'm always here as well. Somebody understands your background and what you're going through. So, I am a shoulder to lean on, if you like, as well.
Appreciate that.
No, I appreciate you being so brave and speaking to me, James. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the time. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Speak to you soon, James. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye now.